Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, The Forgotten God. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope this inspires you and builds your faith.
Hey, New Point, I want you to know that I love you. I really, really do. And God loves you. You've heard me say that many, 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 many times. But you know, sometimes it's in moments like this that the enemy wants to question us of whether we really believe it. And so I just want you to know that I love you, and more importantly, God loves you. Now, we're in this situation that's unusual for all of us. And Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and here's what he says. He says, I want you to redeem the time. I don't want you to waste it. I don't want you to spend it. I want you to redeem it. And one of the ways in which we can is by being intentional with the time that we have. Now, if you're like me, you're spending a whole lot of time at home. And so let's be intentional with that. Let's have those conversations with our spouse or with our kids. Let's play those table games. I know the other night we were playing dominoes, and it was great to interact and laugh and to be able to have fun. That's what it means to redeem the time. It means to make the most of the situation, to make the best of the situation. And so I just want to encourage you to do that. Now, I also want to encourage you to go to our app, our website, Facebook. You know, you can use our campus via Facebook and groups. And I just want you to take advantage of the technology that we have and use it for your good. And that's for everyone in the digital world. And so I want to just encourage you to be very intentional. Don't let these moments slip by. I also want to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. You people are incredible. You're just incredible. You're not letting up. And because you're not letting up, guess what? That enables us to not let up. And we're reaching and we're hearing stories. And God's doing some incredible, unbelievable stuff in the midst of all the chaos that's going on in our life. So thank you for putting your trust in God. I can't thank you enough. Thank you for helping us to help other people reach their full potential in Jesus Christ. And so just thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're going to be able to see an incredible harvest through this time. I believe that with all my heart. Now, we're in this series called The Forgotten God. The Forgotten God. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to it last week, I want to encourage you to listen to it and come kind of catch up to where we are. Last week, I talked about how to be led by the Spirit. This week, I'm going to talk to you about how to be free, how the Spirit frees you and I. So I want to encourage you to go to your app, go to newpoint.org, and you'll find the message series there, and just take advantage of all of that truth there. Now, some people have asked the question to me, why are you calling it the forgotten God? Well, sometimes in church, we can be guilty of dismissing or ignoring certain aspects of the Christian faith because maybe it's unfamiliar, maybe it's a little mystical, maybe it's taboo, maybe you're just opening up a can of worms. And unfortunately for many, too many, the Holy Spirit has fallen into this category. And for some, talking about the Holy Spirit is a strange thing. It might even be spooky. And so it causes us sometimes to forget the importance in this third person of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that he is very, very important in our life. He's very, very important in our life. And that he's there for you and me. And I want to show you today why it's so critical. Because he not only wants to lead us, he wants to free us. And it's the key to living life and life of faith and freedom instead of fear and worry and anxiety. See, there's a lot of that going on today. Would you agree with me? A lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry in the world around us. And the Holy Spirit wants to free you and I from that. That's one of his responsibilities. He's the Spirit of truth. And so here's what we're learning, all right? we're learning that Jesus had a conversation with the disciples about 10 hours before he went to the cross to die for your sins and my sins and for the sins of the world. And he knew that their world would be turned upside down because that's what happens in the world. I mean, this is not heaven. He told us that in this world, you'll have trouble, you'll have tribulations, you'll have setbacks, you'll have heartaches, you'll have disappointments. He said that, and he was telling them that. And he said, your world's going to be turned upside down. And they didn't fully comprehend everything that he was saying, but they would be able to connect the dots in the next few hours and days. And so Jesus said this to them while they were around a table, knowing that he was going to go to the cross. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. One like me. I've been here with you for 3 years in the flesh, but he's going to send another helper who won't be beside you like I have been. Guess what? He's going to live inside of you. He's going to live inside of you. And he will be with you for how long? Forever, because he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. And he says, he will be in you. He will be in you. And so their relationship with Jesus would change. He would no longer be there in the flesh, but he would be living in them in the spirit. And so I want us to understand something today. I want to talk to you about two different types of relationships, okay? And the first one is when we come to know Christ. You know, if you've never given your life to Christ, I trust that you will before our time is over together. But we come to Christ and we trust him as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. And we become a Christian or a Christ follower. And here's what I want us to understand. I am a Christian because I am rightly related to the Son of God. That would be Jesus. That means that I've invited him into my life and that he's forgiven me of my sins. And now he lives in me. I'm in Christ. I live in him and he lives in me and through me. I'm forgiven. There's no condemnation. I'm able to love other people. I'm able to receive love from other people. I'm able to persevere through things. I'm able to have the assurance and the confidence and the security to know that when I die, guess what? I'm going to go to heaven. Why? Because I am rightly related to the Son of God. And so that's that first relationship. I am a Christian because I am rightly related to the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever given your life to God? Would you be able to say today that you're rightly related to the Son of God? That you've invited him into your life? If you haven't, you know, you can do that right now. You can do that right now. You can pray a simple yet life-transforming prayer and just say, God, as much as I know how and as much as I understand, I want to be rightly related to you through your Son, Jesus. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Fill me with peace. Isn't that what you want? Joy, confidence, assurance, power. And he'll do that. You see, I am a Christian because I am rightly related to the Son of God. You know what that means? It means this right here. It means freedom from the penalty of sin. You see, Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago to die on a cross for my sin, not for his sin, for my sin. You see, the penalty of sin is death, for the wages of sin is death. And when I accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life, what happens is I'm free from the penalty of sin. I now become alive in Christ Jesus. And I know that when I die, I go to heaven. Wow, what an incredible, unbelievable gift. Because there's, listen to me, there's always a penalty for sin. And let me tell you what it is. We're going to get into this. It's death. It's death. And so Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that I could be forgiven of my sin. I like to say it like this. God treated Jesus as though he was Dwight, so he could treat Dwight as though he was Jesus. And what that means for me is freedom from the penalty of sin. And here's what I want you to get. Sin doesn't control where you go when you die. Sin doesn't control where you go when you die. Why? Because now you've been freed from the penalty of sin. It's done away with. The price is what? Been paid. A theological term would mean that you've been justified. You've been made right. And so when you and I accept Jesus Christ, what happens is we're free from the penalty of sin. And sin now doesn't control where you and I go when we die. We go to heaven. Isn't that great? Okay? That's fantastic. And so you accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. Now, here's what I want you to get, though, okay? This is going to help you so much, okay? I hope you can get this. That's where most of us stop. Most of us stop right there. We ask Jesus Christ to come into our heart as the forgiver of our sins. And we say something like this, well, you know what, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But what I want you to know is that's just a small part of it. And that's why we're having this series. Because what happens is, if that's all you think, then you have forgotten God. You have forgotten God. You have forgotten the Holy Spirit who lives in you and me. And so what happens when we have forgotten God, what happens is we listen to practical messages and we try to do our very best to give those to you. And we do our best to implement them in our life and even try to imitate Jesus and be like Jesus and get better at it. But we fail over and over and over again. And so what happens is at the end of our day, we confess our sins and we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, and we do it over and over again till we die and go to heaven. But what I want you and I to understand today is that's not all there is to the Christian life. There is so much more to the Christian life than that, than doing the best you can or becoming a better person. You ever hear somebody say that? I just want to be a better person. Okay, well, that's not what Jesus is about. Jesus is about changing you and changing me. And what I want us to understand is there's more to it than just being forgiven. Being forgiven is an incredible gift, my friends, but there's more to it than that. There's more to just being free from the penalty of sin. You see, Paul writes to the church in Colossians, and he says this. He says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, how do we do that? We did that by faith, okay? Continue to live your lives in him. Continue to live your lives in him. Now, where is he now? He lives within me. He's no longer beside me. That's why Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. And if I go away, the Holy Spirit will come and he will live in you. And I want you to continue to live in him. I want you to be very familiar and aware with the Spirit of God. And so I'm a Christian when I become rightly related to the Son of God. And here's what I want us to get. Here's the second relationship. I am filled with the Spirit when I am rightly related to the Spirit of God. Wow. I become a Christian when I am rightly related to the Son of God. That's Jesus. But I become filled with the Holy Spirit when I am rightly related to the Spirit of God. You see, so many of us stop at overcoming the penalty of sin. And we fail to believe, okay? We fail to believe that we have the ability to have the power over sin. Do you know, listen to me, okay? Do you know it's possible not to sin? You've probably never gone there, never thought that, but it's true. That's the power of God working in your life and working in my life. You see, listen, God wants you to rightly relate to the Spirit of God, believing that he has the power to help you and I and to empower you and I to overcome all of those things that hold you and I back, like fear and doubt and worry and anxiety and insecurities. But that's exactly why he gave us the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. See, Paul was talking to Timothy, and here's what he wrote to Timothy. And this is huge because this is the day in which we're living in, okay? Y'all ready? But God, I think, has gotten our attention, okay? Here's what he said. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. I think we're in the last days, folks, okay? Terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. We see that, right? Price gougers, okay? Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, everything that I just listed there is sin. And it brings death. And how does it bring death? Look what he says. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Wow. So what he is saying here is this. He is saying is that there's people who know God, but the power of God is not activated in their life. Because we're unfamiliar with the Spirit of God who wants to set us free. And so we allow things into our life. And those things that I just mentioned, they come into our life. Lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, boastful, unforgiving. And what happens is they quench the Spirit of God. They extinguish the power of God in our life. And God's intention for your life and my life is not that you, and listen to me, is not that you and I look godly, but that we're experiencing a power that enables us to be godly. And here's my belief, and you can differ with me if you want to. The coronavirus, I know it's affecting everybody. Everybody, and my heart goes out. My heart goes out. But one place that it's affecting people is the church. Because God's got our attention. Because for too long, you know what? We've had a form of godliness. Outwardly, we're church people. We go to church and we sing the songs and we take the notes and we do this and we do that. But the fact of the matter is there's nothing that is differentiating us from other people. We've denied the power. We're saved. If we die, we go to heaven. But we're not rightly related to the Spirit of God. And when we're not rightly related to the Spirit of God, listen to me, my friends, there's no power in our life. There's no power in our life. We walk around just like everybody else. We're as fearful and as anxious and scared as everybody else. It shouldn't be that way. I want you to know I love you, but it shouldn't be that way. Not when the power of God is living in you and in me. And so Jesus told the disciples, okay, and we looked at this verse. He said, you're going to need power in your life. And here's what he said. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my what? You will be my witnesses. What does it mean to be a witness? It means to stand in place of. And so what Jesus was saying to the disciples is this. The power of God's going to come upon you. He's going to fill you. It's going to be me, the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be living in you. And so you are to be my witnesses. So you're to stand in my place. When people say, what are we going to do? The world's falling apart. What's going to happen? He's saying to you and he's saying to me, you're to stand in my place because you need my power. You need to speak hope and you need to give help and you need to be able to minister to people because of my power living in you. And you might say, power for what? Power to live for joy. Power to live righteously. Power to make wise choices. Power to love. Power to save your marriage, power to save your family, power to put down the bottle, power to be filled with peace, power to live authentically and genuinely. Listen to this, power to live in freedom, Power to handle the pressures of life when you and I get squeezed. The power to have the understanding of who God is, that he's faithful, he's good. The power to be able to have the awareness of evil and wrong. The power to love and to be loved. The power to intercede on behalf of other people. You ready for this? The power, listen, I'm going to talk about this next week. You don't want to miss next week. The power to fear no evil. To be confident. To live free from worry. So that you and I can have a positive attitude of unselfishness and servanthood and humility. Because here's what I know, okay? Whenever fear has gripped me, guess what? Can I? When fear grips my heart, it makes me want to self-preserve. That means selfishness. I'm worried about me. I'm going to buy up all the toilet paper. I'm going to buy up all the water because I'm scared. I'm fearful. I have a scarcity mindset. And what Jesus wants to do in your life and in my life is to make us aware that he's living in us. And we don't have to be fearful. That he's conquered all of that. That we can take courage. You see, to be rightly related to the Son of God is to have freedom from the penalty of sin. But to be rightly related to the Son of God, or to the Spirit of God, is to have freedom from the power of sin. Wow. Why is this important? Listen to me. Because every time you sin and I sin, it brings death. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And so here's what I want you to understand. Sin doesn't have to control what you do or how you live. Y'all okay on that one? Not if the power of God's living in you and me. If I'm rightly related to the Spirit of God, then what happens is sin doesn't have to control what I do or how I live. So guess what that means? It frees me from death. That you and I can actually live from the power of sin is so important. Why? Because sin is devastating. It has a devastating effect on every man and every woman. It has a devastating effect on our personal lives beyond anything that you could imagine. Now, you might say, why? Because it brings death. Brings death. Now, when the coronavirus first started out, there were people who blew it off. Would you agree with me? Nothing going on here, nothing happening there. And what happens is many of them, and I've seen them, they've written apologies. They didn't know it was that serious. Could I just make a suggestion that many of us treat sin that way? It's just a little thing, doesn't really matter. And then what happens is when it gets its grip on a person, you know what it does? It brings death. And it's what drives deception at every level. It's what brings about addiction of every kind. It's behind every abuse that happens. It's behind the me first attitude. It's behind all the things that makes us selfish and unkind and impatient and angry and greedy and proud. All of that brings one thing, death. So why should I live the life that I once used to live before I knew Christ, before I became a new person? When I have all of this in front of me, why should I continue to live the same way I did before I came to Christ? Are you kidding me? All that means is death. Haven't you experienced enough death in your life yet? You see, Paul says it like this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. I'm new, man. I'm not better. I'm not better since I came to Christ. I'm a new creation since I came to Christ. The old is gone and the new is here. So why would I continue to live the same way that I used to live? Why would I continue to give in to the urges and the temptations that I used to do? Well, I would say it's because we've forgotten God. And we need to learn how this life has been given to you and I through the Holy Spirit. I need to learn how Christ can live through me, because this isn't about living a better life. This isn't about being more moral. This isn't about being a better person. You literally are not the same person that you used to be once you come to know Jesus Christ. Because now you're rightly related to God the Father through the Son. But what happens is many of us stop there, and we need to become rightly related to the Spirit of God and experience the freedom from the power of sin. And so how do I do that? Well, Paul says it like this, and this is incredible, okay? Now the Lord is the Spirit, okay? Lord, sovereign one, okay? All-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, all-wise God, okay? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. So where is he? If you prayed that prayer with me just at the beginning of my talk and accepted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, where is he? He's in you. And Paul is saying wherever he is, there should be freedom. Freedom from addiction, freedom from relational bondage, freedom to be able to grieve, okay, because we have losses. Freedom to be able to laugh. Freedom to be able to know what to do. And so we have freedom there. And so that's what God has for you and me. It's just when we quench his Spirit, when we choose not to do what he wants us to do, that we have no power in our life. And so we need to be able to say yes to him over and over and over again. And yes, I want to be rightly related to you, Spirit of God. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to be in charge. And when we're filled with the Spirit of God, under his control, it's the same power, listen to me, it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ back from the dead, because he's life. And so Jesus was trying to help the disciples understand this, and this is what he said. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free." What's the truth? The Lord, who is the Spirit, lives inside of you. And he's all powerful. And the same power that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. And so how do I flesh this out in my life? How do I make this practical, Dwight? I want to live free. I want to be free. I don't want sin to reign in my life, because it brings death. So how do I do that? Well, Paul gives us a glimpse of this when he writes this to the church in Rome. He says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." So what does this say? It says that Christ conquered death. We're going to celebrate that in 2 weeks. It's called Easter. It goes on to say this. He says, "The death that he died to sin." Who lives in you and me? Jesus. So the one who lives in you and me has died to sin, and now he wants you and I to die to sin, because sin brings death once and for all. But the life he lives what? To God. So Jesus died to sin. He broke the power of sin. And now he lives in every man, every woman, every person who's invited him into his life. But here's what we have to understand. He died to sin. He broke the power of sin. But every time, listen to me, every time you and I choose to sin, death is right on its heels. Death is right on its heels. And so how do we respond to such good news that the power of sin has been broken in our life? Well, he continues. Here's what he says. "In the same way as Jesus," okay, "count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Count means to take into account, okay? The habits that you and I once had that defeated us, discouraged us, depressed us, deprived us of God's power in our life, those habits are gone. They no longer have to control me. Anger no longer has to control me. Alcohol no longer has to control me. Fear no longer has to control me. Jesus died so that we could be dead to sin. And sin always brings fear and uncertainty into our life. So we have to factor this in. So here's what we do. Guess what we do? We declare that sin is not our master. That's the first step. The first step is I declare, you know what? Sin, you're not my master anymore. You used to control me. You used to boss me around. You used to tell me what to do. But you know what? Not anymore. And so when anger or fear or lust or deception, any of those come up in me, guess what? I just say, hey, you know what? You're not my master anymore. I'm not going to follow you. And this is something that we have to act upon. And I'm just declaring, sin, you're not my master. I'm not going to follow your lead. I'm not going to say yes to you. And so Jesus died to sin, and now he lives in you and me. And this means that you and I are free. We are free from the old person that we used to be. And now we are what? We are new. We're new. And the person that you once was is dead. It's gone. Here's where we're at. Guess what he says? He says, you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of, listen to me, the word alive there doesn't mean just life. It means overflowing. It means life abundantly. See, I'm not just alive. I'm experiencing life to the fullest. And it's really a picture of a person who's really living life and reaching their full potential. You see, you and I have spent our life long enough being dominated by sin, thinking that we're victims, thinking that we're helpless, thinking that we don't have the power to say no, when in fact you and I have living inside of us the power to be able to say no to that which wants to disrupt and destroy your life and my life. That we have the power within us to be able to live a fulfilling life, a great life, a new way of life, a different way of life. And that's what Paul was saying. He goes on to say this, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Why? Because he's no longer my master. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. See, Paul says this, when you and I say yes to sin, we're letting sin be our master. We're letting it reign in our lives. And it only happens when you and I say yes. It only happens when you and I say yes to it. And we have to understand that. And so what happens is, why do we say yes to sin? Let me tell you, okay? Because we don't trust God. Why do we give in to fear? Because we don't trust God. Why do we become anxious? Because we don't trust God. Say, look at what Paul says. Paul said, whatever is not of faith, what's faith? Believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he is and that he will do what he has promised to do. That's faith. And when I don't live that way, I sin because I'm going to take control and I'm going to do what I think is right and best. And what I just want to say to all of us, haven't we had enough death in our marriages, in our families, with our kids, our finances, our relationships? Haven't we experienced enough death? See, why would somebody who is free from sin continue to want to live in sin and experience death? Things that's going to hurt them and hurt other people. And so he says, therefore, do not let sin have a choice in your life. Just say, I declare that sin is not my master. I declare that I will no longer follow him. See, that's a mindset. You can say no. You can say no because the power of sin has been broken. And so we want to declare that sin is no longer our master. We want to decide not to let sin rule over us. We got to decide. This is a mindset. This is how you live free. This is how you're rightly related to the Spirit of God. Because when you sin and I sin, we quench the Spirit of God. So you have to declare that he's no longer your master. You have to decide that you're not going to let sin rule in you. Here's what Paul says. He says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness. So what happens is, I don't want to sin through my eyes. I don't want to sin through my mouth. I don't want to sin through my hands. I don't want to sin through my words. I say, sin, you can't have this. No way, because you are no longer my master. And so I've declared that sin is not my master. I've decided that sin is not going to rule over me. And so Paul continues, and he says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought back from the dead to life. Before Christ, I had no choice. Now I do have a choice. And so now what happens is I decide not to let sin ruin my life. I decide to offer myself to God. God, I want to be used by you. I want to be a conduit of hope and healing and help and grace and mercy and kindness. And so he says, and offer what? Every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Have you done that? Have you ever done that? Say, you have forgotten God. You're the holy temple. You're the church. Maybe today you need to just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to decide not to let sin ruin my life, and I'm going to offer myself to God. God, I want to be used for righteous purposes that brings life, not sin that brings death. And so you offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And here's what that leads to. It leads to devote your body to God. You devote your body to God. I did that this morning. I'll do that tomorrow morning. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow morning? Sin, you're not my master. I'm not following you today. Sin, I just want you to know you're not going to ruin my life today, because you'll bring death to my relationship with Patty, Caleb, Sarah, Jonathan, Nate, and Ben. And I'm not going to let that happen. You're going to bring death to my friends and my coworkers. I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to allow you to rule in my life. And I'm going to devote my body. I'm going to surrender my body to you, God. I'm going to surrender my body to you. Have you ever done that? You see, this, listen to me, this has the potential to make all the difference in the world. This is how you are free. God's not going to zap you. You have a choice in the matter. You got to declare. You got to decide. You got to devote. And the Holy Spirit's desire is to give you the power, even in your weakness. You see, many of us, we've been so influenced by what we have seen around us in the news and from coworkers and Facebook and others. And you know what? It's killing you. Anxiety is up to here. It's bringing a sense of hopelessness and fear and despair. And when we live like this, guess what happens? We quench the Spirit of God. The Spirit is there to influence you to live by faith. You say, Dwight, are you saying to deny reality? No, this is tough times. These are hard times. Faith never denies reality. Faith says, this is reality, but my God is bigger than this. My God can take care of it. You see, listen, sin in my life and your life will always produce fear. It'll always produce uncertainty. But faith will always produce power and peace and confidence, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the virus. And I can be confident in God's faithfulness, even when there's all kinds of chaos going around me. And so we're going to sing a song. And I want to encourage you as they sing to take a step and be able to say with confidence, sin, you're not going to be my master anymore, because you bring too much fear and worry and doubt and death into my life. I'm going to decide not to let you ruin my life anymore. I'm going to devote my body to God. I want you to do that, because here's what happens when you and I do that. You ready for that? The penalty of sin is not only defeated, but the power of sin. And it allows you and I, listen, it allows you and I to live with confidence of knowing that no matter what we face, the one who lives inside of me is greater than the one outside of me. And he can move mountains in your life. And when they're done, guess what? You can give him the honor and the glory. And so, do you want to be free? Declare that sin is no longer your master. You want to be free? Decide it will never rule and reign in your life. You want to be free? Devote your body to God. Listen to this song, because God wants you to live a confident, bold life filled with his Spirit. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you today for who you are. And man, if there's ever a time that we need to live a bold life, one that allows us to be at peace and at rest, in a world that is full of chaos and confusion and conflict. It's now. You told us that in this world we would have trouble, we'd have trials, we'd have tribulations, but you told us to be of good cheer, to be joyful, because you have overcome the world. You told us, don't be afraid, but believe in me, have faith, and we want that. And so God, may you come and rise up inside of us. And may we be confident in the midst of all that's going on around us. May we be that witness. May we stand in place of you among our family and friends. And they would sense that we have a freedom that maybe they don't fully understand. But it's because of you. And it's in your name that we give thanks and praise. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play, or catch us on Roku or Apple TV. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.